Your body is an ultimate high-performance machine, and Performance Lab Protein is the ultimate high-grade muscle fuel. This revolutionary plant-based formula has conquered the purity and taste issues that you get with most protein powders, and is clinically shown to be at least as effective as whey for increasing lean muscle mass. But again, don't take our word for it. Try it for 30 days, and if you're not blown away with a difference, you'll get your money back. Go to performancelab.com. Use discount code GENIRON10 to get 10% off. That's performancelab.com, discount code GENIRON and number 10.
Welcome to the Generation Iron Podcast, featuring the biggest names in bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports world.
If you want to be a bodybuilding champion, it takes hours and hours every day of being dedicated and being passionate about it.
How's your boy here, Kai Green, a.k.a. Mr. Getting It Done?
Yeah, buddy!
Tune in to the GI Exclusives on the Generation Iron Airwaves.
What's up, GI Nation? Welcome back to the Generation Iron Podcast. Today we have an interview with the IFBB Pro in the men's classic physique division. He's originally from France and also Switzerland, and now he lives in California and trains in Gold's Gym with many other pros and fitness influencers. And he has a really cool name, Stanimal. Stanimal, how you doing, man?
I'm good, and you?
Good to see you. It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a second.
So you're going to open division, huh?
I'm moving up, yep, that's right.
From classic to the open.
Well, I started in men's physique.
Originally?
Yeah.
You're wearing long shorts.
Yep. Then shorter and shorter. Yeah.
Man, so why are you doing that?
It's just like I was getting ready for the Olympia. I was about 10 weeks out, and I was close to my condition for stage. I was still almost 235 pounds, and sent my pictures to Chris Acido. He told me, what's the weight you have to do again? I was like, 207. He was like, it's the last time we do this. Yeah, you can't do that. Like, it's too much muscle. We're gonna have to wait. It's gonna be hard for you to make weight. Mm-hmm. We ended up making weight, but I just didn't look round and full like I could be, and lost a lot of muscle in the process. And I know I look better when I'm like, you know, not as depleted. So, and I can still have a frame. I can still fill up. So I think I have a lot of areas I can improve. So it's just natural evolution. Like I said, I started in men's physique, and now. And then I switched to classic, and now it's all the way to open bodybuilding.
Do you ever miss men's physique division?
Which men's physique?
Yeah, do you ever miss it?
No.
Why is everybody making fun of it, honestly? I mean, why?
I don't make fun of it.
Not you, I'm saying in general. Why does it get like always like the jokes about it?
I think it's because they hide the legs. So that's a big part of it. Also, it's like the pretty boys, you know, it's like, so, you know, they get a lot of attention, and they're pretty popular. And it's just not as extreme, so it's kind of like the smaller, you know, the first, I don't know. It's like the smaller guys you pick on, it's cool, you know, like, not the skinny guy, obviously, but like, you know, in bodybuilding, the smaller one. So maybe that's why.
So moving to men's open, what does it mean as far as strategy? I mean, does it mean you have to get way, way bigger now? Does it mean you have to, what do you have to adjust to move to that division?
Well, for me, it just keep filling up my frame. I feel like I can still improve my back and my arms, and I'm already above the weight limit. So I'm not trying to get, you know, become the bigger guy. Like I said, when classic physique first got introduced, I had the feeling that, you know, it would start influencing the men's open, which it did, like, you know, with Sean winning and Brandon. So it's just natural evolution, and for me, that's what I'm going for. It's like bringing the classic look to the open. So what I'm trying to do is just like bring conditioning, round and complete body, and not trying to be the biggest guy.
But doesn't mean that you're gonna have to compete against people that are essentially way bigger than you?
Yeah, I did already. I did my first show right after the Olympia. I went to Italy. I competed next to Rolly Winkler and Nathan Diasha. Yeah, like.
How did you feel being next to those guys? Did you feel?
I felt great. I mean, first of all, it's people I admire. They're also friends of mine, luckily. And I mean, I think Rolly was probably 50 pounds heavier than me on stage. But I mean, I don't think you can tell there's 50 pounds different. Obviously, it's thicker and like much bigger than me. But you couldn't tell there was that much of a gap. And you know, I feel like if I just like improve certain areas and just keep doing what I've been doing, maybe like 5-10 more pounds, I make, you know, Oh, like compared to this show, if I can add 15 to 20 pounds, which put me around 240, 245 on stage, I'd be, you know, very decent. I think I can really battle this way.
Rui looks huge though, man. Every time I see a picture of him, it's like he looks bigger and bigger, man. Like he's
crazy. That's why you call him the beast. No, his arms are, to me, it's the most impressive guys. Yeah. Like of all the open bodybuilder, like I know everybody said Big Ramy is huge and weight wise is probably, you know, the heaviest guy. But Rolly, once he step on stage, is the guy really get the freak factor like nobody else. To me, that's really the guy who's like really catch my eyes. I'm always shocked.
What's more challenging to you, gaining the mass or conditioning at the end?
Gaining the mass. Yeah, I'm naturally a skinny guy.
Really?
Yeah, so I have to eat. That's why like when I share on my YouTube channel, like people like, oh, why you eat all this stuff? Like I eat junk food. I eat, you know, calorie dense food. I put ice cream in my shakes. I try to get the calories as much as I can. I drink straight soda. I have to, you know, any calorie counts. So
that's crazy. So you, what's the body type called? Like, I forgot the skinny
ectomorph.
One. Ectomorph. That's what you are.
More, yeah, for sure. Like for me, it's like when I was getting ready for the Olympia, I was eating muffins every day, burger and fries, and I was peeled. So
that's crazy, man. So conditioning is kind of comes easier to you.
Yeah, much easier. I mean, at first when I, you know, started competing, it was hard because I, you know, if I cut down my calories too much, then I lose muscle. And just find this balance, like I said, keep eating a lot of food even though I'm dieting, which like naturally you would think, oh, no junk food, no burgers, no like this type of things. For me, it doesn't work. I still have to keep like certain foods. I know, I think you met Mack Truck these days, so I know he's a similar type of metabolism, probably even worse than me. But yeah, that's the kind of thing sometimes you have to do, so yeah.
What do you feel about Big Ramy? I mean, he's making a comeback, I think, at the Arnold Classic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, there's hype around him, but I feel like people are not as excited anymore for whatever reason. It seems like kind of like 2 years ago, people thought he was going to get the title of Olympia.
Yeah.
And then when it didn't happen, it seems like people started doubting him. How do you feel about it?
But yeah, I think he got second. So of course he was like the biggest contender for the title. And then the year after he missed his peak completely. I don't know what happened because he looked really good on pictures and then on stage. Well, I've seen Sean doing the same, like not doing the same, but like we were leaving the room. Yeah, like in 2017, we left the hotel room. He looked insane. And then like not even an hour later, he was on stage and like starting holding water from nowhere. No idea why. Sometimes the body just does things, you know, just have to roll with it. And maybe they're just trying to carb him up because he was really, really conditioned. They thought, oh, we can give him as much food as possible. And maybe he just started spinning over. I don't know what happened with Ramy. I don't know him personally. I'm not that close to him, so I don't really know. But that might have been what happened. And then, you know, people keep saying, you know, he never brings the conditioning. So maybe like thinking like, you know, Cedric is also one of these guys where they always like, oh, he's got all this potential, but yeah, if he can bring, you know, that crazy, crispy conditioning, he can win any show. And after a while, you never see that type of conditioning, you kind of like forget, you know. Like you know, my friend Lionel Baiki too, you know, he's got that crazy genetics, he's got all body parts, you know, crazy physique, but they always, you know, get slammed about his conditioning, so.
So for those who don't know, you are very close friends with Sean Roden.
Yeah,
your training partner with Sean Roden.
Well, yeah, we became over the years really, really close, man. We we've been training together for like 3 years now, a little over 3 years. we're training for 3 years, and I've been here in California for 6 years, and just we started training next to each other. So spending time after and before the workout, just, you know, chit-chatting and getting closer and closer, and then started training together. So obviously getting a deeper bond, and yeah, he's like my brother now.
What did it mean to you when he won the title 2 years ago?
I felt like I won. I was like so invested. I knew he had it in him. And in 2018, he was just a couple days out. Like his body, once we get in Vegas, people don't realize that. Like everybody was writing him off, like, because the year before, you know, he had this conditioning issue. And he slept from second to fifth. And people are like, he's done, you know, he's not gonna do anything. And then when you see his pictures, his body changes so fast. People think, oh, he's way off, he's never gonna be ready. But then the week we're in Vegas, just like every hour, basically between every meal, his body just gets, you know, more conditioned by almost a minute. It's crazy. And so we were like a day before prejudging, you know, with Chris Acido and Sean, just checking him out and seeing like how things were going, and we're just like, this is something different. This year is really going to be special. We could feel it. And obviously he ended up winning right after that. So
when you saw him with the pre-judging that day, did you have a feeling that he's going to win?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I had a feeling before that too, like the year he got second, I thought we had it. But this year it was just like a deeper, like his conditioning was just on another level. Like he was so like dry. I never seen him like this. So yeah, and then we saw Phil was retaining a little bit of water, and we thought, yeah, we got it, you know. We just got the edge right there, so.
After the
But we had to be careful, sorry. But because usually Phil, he's always come back better for finals. So we were like trying to like, you know, not getting too much over our head. But we just kept, you know, I mean, he kept following the Acito's plan and just bring the best conditioning the next day, same, just not, even better, if anything, not any less good. And Phil, I think, trying to carb up a little more and just, you know, was more watery and stomach starting pushing a little more, and that just cost him the title.
After Phil Heath lost that year, he went on the record a few times, different interviews, and he said that, you know, he felt like he beat Sean on different poses.
Yeah.
When Sean heard that, I'm sure he heard that.
Mm-hmm.
How did he feel about that afterwards? Did he feel upset that Phil said that, or?
No, I mean, Sean is, you know, he's been playing this sport for a minute now, and he's like, you know, he's, you know, judges decide. All the years before, Felix never complained about the judging, it was in his favor. And this year he thinks he doesn't deserve it. I mean, obviously he's back, you know, Phil's back is untouchable, but all the other poses, like, I mean, I think Sean won fair and square. He had more poses for him than Phil had, so yeah. And Sean, you know, he's just like, he doesn't really care, like the judge decided he won. That's all he needs, you know.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, but now everybody knows that, you know, Sean is going through something very personal right now with the accusation that's going against him. What can you tell me about the situation as far as how he's taken it from the perspective of, you know, mental state? How is he mentally?
It's really hard. He's trying to hang in there, obviously. I think the hardest thing is, you know, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And a lot of people like consider him guilty, like taking action as if he were guilty, as if he was guilty. And that's the hardest part, you know. Of course, he can't even compete right now, which is the thing he's invested his whole life in. And he's at his peak, you know, he won the title and is not even allowed to like defend it or compete in any way. So that's the hardest part, trying to keep his head down and just do what he's always done, keep working and wait for his time.
And he's still training?
Yeah, he's still training, of course, yeah. But it's definitely a hard time.
I remember it was last year, as soon as the news broke out of the accusation, the next day, or even the same day, it was announced that he was banned from competing at Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
How did he feel about that, and how did you feel about that when you heard the news about that he's banned automatically?
Yeah, that was, we thought it was really quick. The action was taken within a couple hours, like there was the press release from the Olympia. And we thought just that was just too fast. Like the news just broke out and they already decided, you know, they were writing him off. We thought it was just a little too fast. It wasn't, they could have taken a couple of days. It wouldn't have mattered. Like his show wasn't, it's not like he was stepping on stage the next day. So they could have waited, you know, a week or just see a little more through this whole thing. And myself, I just feel worried about, you know, this kind of things, because it means, you know, if you get any accusation towards yourself, you're not going to be able to do, you know, competing in our sport, which is all we invest in. So that's kind of, you know, scary.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sean, since the news broke, he made a very brief statement a few weeks later, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he's that more vocal? Because I think the perception is if you don't speak out, you automatically assume that you're guilty. You know what I'm saying? Why do you think he's not publicly making more statements or giving more?
It's just because the case is open right now and he's not supposed to talk about anything. He's supposed to stay quiet, because if he, you know, says anything publicly, the other like part can prepare themselves differently. You know, it's just like trial things. I don't even understand all that stuff.
No, so. No, I totally understand.
But it's that time of things. His lawyer just advised him to just stay quiet, and he's too much of a public figure to be, you know, going around and say anything.
Right. So what kind of time frame do you think he's looking at as far as going through this whole process and coming out of the other end, you know what I mean?
I have no idea. I know, you know, trials and things like that can really take a while. And I know his lawyer is trying to push for the trial to come as soon as possible so they can get out of it and he can start competing. But so far, it's just taking time. So I don't really know much more about that.
As far as, you know, there was news that he was supposed to be competing at this year's Arnold Classic.
Me?
Him. No, not him. Him.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's not competing anymore. Do you know why or what happened there?
I mean, I think it's just he talked to the organization of the Arnold Classic and they wanted him to compete. But then they had to go through the IFBB Pro League, and the IFBB Pro League, they decided that it was a bad idea for them to let him compete in the Pro League as long as this thing was going on. In case, you know, he was actually guilty, then it would be a bad look for the Pro League. Which I think, you know, he's a pro athlete anyway, so if he actually was guilty at some point, you know, he would be, how to say, like, they would still link it to, you know, the Pro League, that he's not competing right now or not, he's been competing in there. So I think that's just my opinion, but I believe he should just be able to keep competing until he's proven guilty, which hasn't been proven yet.
Of course. Okay, so how did you feel about Brandon Curry winning the last year's Olympia? How did you feel about his performance? You thought what?
I thought that was great. I think he's got a great physique. Just like I said earlier, he just keeps, you know, he's got those aesthetic lines and he just brings the nice bodybuilding again, like we really like. Mm.
Yeah. Was he your favorite going in the competition? Who were you thinking was going to be? You
know, I mean, honestly, yeah, I thought, you know, after winning the Arnold Classic, he was definitely the favorite. Being pretty good friend with Rolly, I was hoping, you know, he was close to, you know, he was third the year before, just behind Phil. Some people would say he could even have gotten second. So I thought Rolly had also should have been in the battle. Unfortunately, he slipped off. Bonac is always dangerous. He was second at the Arnold, winning the year before, in the mix also for years in top three. So it was pretty open last year. It was pretty open. You know, with Sean missing, Phil, and Big Ramy out, it was, you know, open for the taking.
What do you think about Hadi Chupan? He finally got his visa.
Yeah, finally.
He finally made it to U.S. soil, and then he just, you know, his performance at Olympia was very noticeable, obviously. It was just...
Yeah, well, I've seen him before. Like, I've competed at the San Marino with him. He was doing open at that time. Also, and he's just got a crazy physique. He's just so massive, and his conditioning is insane. So he, you know, I'm not surprised he did really well. With everything going on right now, I hope he still be able to compete, you know, this year or going forward. Because I think, you know, as an athlete, you should, you know, be able to do what you sport and compete, no matter what, you know, the politics are going on. Like, they used to have Olympics back in the Greek antique. Every war, everything was paused just so that would happen, and I think sports should always be able to go on. But
do you look forward to competing against him?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a challenge for sure. But of course, I'm like excited to step on stage next to all the open bodybuilders, which is something I always admired. Like, I always followed bodybuilding closely. I just, you know, I never thought I would get to that level. I mean, I'm still not yet there, right there, but like, you know, starting men's physique, moving on to classic, training with Sean, and my body keep evolving, and you know, I'm just turned 32, so I got time.
Still very young.
Yeah. Like, top bodybuilders right now, they're over 40, so yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, your social media keeps expanding, you know, your influence keeps growing. You have big, you know, following from Europe, from mm-hmm. France, Switzerland. With that happening, you're an influencer basically, right? Why do you still have the need to compete? Do you love competing? Is it something that you love inside? Or do you feel like you need that component in order to grow your overall career?
No, I just love to compete. I don't think I need it. If anything, it kind of hurts me, because when you're dieting and getting ready for a show, you spend so much energy that it's hard to also build the content and publish all this stuff. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the process. I enjoy sharing it with people. And yeah, that's why I am. I'm a competitor, and I strive for progression, like keep improving over time. and be able to share this process with as many people and inspire anybody to just go on and follow their own passion, whatever it is. I'm talking outside of bodybuilding here. Just go for what you love in life and just give it all. And I think success always comes to you. If you're patient and you just do it for the right reason, success will come.
How many shows do you do a year generally?
I've been slowing down. When I was doing Men's Physique, I was doing a lot. I was almost competing every 2 months. I was seeing over the first year, I think I did like 12 shows. Yeah, it was crazy. I've done a lot of shows in class in Men's Physique, and then as I moved up in Classic, I started slowing down. I did like 4 or 5 a year, and then I've done after 2016 and 17. Then I qualified for my first Olympia in 2018. That was end of 2017. I qualified for the Olympia 2018. So in 2018, I just did the Olympia. Just the Olympia. Then I did South Korea, which qualified me for 2019. And behind that, I did Long Beach. So I did 3 shows in 2018. And this year I did the Olympia and the show in Open Bodybuilding. So only 2. So I'm like, taking more time to progress and doing less shows as I progress. Every time I step on stage, and I also, like before, I had to kind of like make a name for myself, get myself out there, get experience of the stage, see how my body reacts, like those final tuning. And now as I kind of figured all these things out, every time now I step on stage, I also have, people kind of know how I look like, so I have to bring something different. I have to show progress. So that's why I'm taking more time to make sure I make those progress and those adjustments so I can show something different and not just step on stage to step on stage.
When is the next show that you're doing?
I was thinking to do the California Pro end of May, but it's going to depend how I'm progressing the next couple of months, because there's a lot of expos in March and April. There's the Arnold Classic, the French Expo in Paris, FIBO. So I know I've been traveling a little bit for about 2 months. So it's going to depend on basically the next 6 weeks. I'm going to decide when I'm going to compete. And if I feel like I made enough progress, I might try to do the Cal, maybe something after. Maybe I'll just wait some more time, just pass on this year Olympia and hopefully get invited to do the Rock Show, the Athleticon in Atlanta, October, I think it's 8 to 11th. Yeah, they're going to have the big show with Dwayne Johnson, where he's involved. And I think that's going to be the first year, and that'd be awesome to be part of it.
How do you feel about that whole that show that they're putting together as far as the expo goes?
I think it's great for the sport. I think, bringing all the, Dwayne Johnson has so many lights on him. Everybody's trying to get a piece of him because he's so successful in everything he does and everything he touches. So having the luxury to have bodybuilding, under his wing, I think it's awesome. It's going to bring more media, more companies, more also money, of course, in the sport, I believe, and just give it more exposure. And I think it's going to be really good and beneficial the sport a lot.
What other ventures you got going on right now? Obviously, you're doing the bodybuilding. What else is happening in your life?
Well, I just moved here a few months, like just a few weeks out the Olympia. But right now, I'm launching a clothing line soon, casual wear. That's what I'm working on right now, mostly. Other than that, it's really improving my physique to be able to step on stage in the Open and keep sharing everything on social media. Yeah, mostly this.
What do you think about generally, like last question, what do you think about generally the progression of bodybuilding and where it's heading? Obviously, The Rock is doing the show, but overall, some people say, the peak of bodybuilding was in the 90s. That was when you had the most expos, the most, maybe the best shows, and also the best physiques, arguably, people say that. Some people say it's getting better now. What do you think, from your perspective, being in the industry?
I think now there's like more a separation in every, with the all this division coming up. So there's different style, there's something for everybody. It's as far as competitors and also for the public. So if you like really big guys, you got the Open. If you like more aesthetic, balanced physique, you got the Classic. If you just like more like a, not every day, because of course not, but like more like normal look, we'll say, like more like less extreme, you got the Men's Physique guys. And so I think it just, we can reach more people with this. And social media just blew up the whole fitness movement. So I think it's different. I think also this classic division is making a big impact on the open bodybuilding. And you know, a lot of people talked about this year Olympia in open, as you know, the conditioning wasn't quite there, especially next to the classic guys. We have the weight limitation and we have to make weight, so it forces us to be really conditioned. I mean, me moving out, but it forces the competitors to really bring the conditioning. So I think this factor of conditioning influences the open bodybuilding. And also the look, you know, it also like as people like myself and, you know, George Peterson, I think, is moving in 212, and Keon Person is moving also in 212. Those guys are bringing like those, you know, classic lines to the open bodybuilding, 212 and open, which is, you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to shape the future of the bodybuilding division.
Now, in a classic division, Brian obviously was a champion. He got dethroned by Chris Bumstead. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of people were very confused by that because they, they thought Brianna was much more superior to Chris. I'm sure you heard that criticism. Right?
Yeah,
how did you feel about it?
I mean, at the end of the day, the judges decide who's best. They decided the last 2 years it was Brian, and every year it was close. I know last year it was close by 1 point, according to the judges. So maybe they decided, you know, sometimes it's also like making enough progress because they know what you look like, but they expect you to bring something else. And maybe they felt like Brian just brought too much of the same and Chris Bumstead improved, and that gave him maybe that difference that, you know, this time they're like, oh, let's, you know, flip it around and give it to Chris Bumstead. We have to talk to the judges to really know what happened. But yeah, those two guys are just amazing physiques and amazing competitors anyway. A lot of people before, they were, you know, claiming Chris Bumstead should have been Mr. Olympia for years.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of, you know, the fans, they love Chris Bumstead, and they've been saying since he first started, he should have been. I mean, some, you know, the fans, if they're a fan of somebody, they're going to say, even myself, some people think I should be Mr. Olympia, which I'm not quite there, but yeah, it's just, you know, opinions.
Do you ever get upset at the judging? I mean, obviously, you know, if it doesn't go in your favor, I'm sure you're upset, but like, no. when you observe judging, do you ever get upset with it?
Well, what I get upset for myself is like if I don't bring my best. After that, if I bring my best, then I don't, you know, it's up to the judges. But most of the time, the judges are pretty good. It's really rare that I feel like something really off happened. Sometimes, yeah, when you look at pictures, because it really doesn't translate the same as when you're in person. So that's the hard part. And I think that's one of the critics you see a lot online is people, you know, they watch the show on streaming, or they just see pictures and they think somebody should have won over the other. And it seems obvious, but, you know, the pictures are just one moment. So the guy can be a little more relaxed next to him. It just doesn't give you the whole thing. So sometimes it doesn't give you the whole story. And it's hard to judge. If you're not right there, it's not the same, that's for sure. That's something I've learned myself going to shows like the Olympia. When you see Phil Heath, you know, in real life, he's got a crazy 3D conditioning that you really don't see on pictures.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you ever, I mean, when you look at the bloggers, right? Sometimes what happens is after the show usually, right? There's a lot of bloggers put up comparison shots, and that's what starts a lot of controversy. How do you feel about the fitness bloggers today in the fitness industry that, you know, that pretty much kind of replaced the media in many aspects?
Yeah, they have. I mean, some people, but then it's also, it just depends on the people who are doing it. I think some people like Nick Strength and Power do a really good job of acting very neutral about it. And, you know, as a blogger, as a person, an individual, you have an opinion and you have also a feeling for a person. So if you're somebody you don't like, for different reasons than his physique, you know, start seeing things differently, and it's gonna influence your opinion on the person and his physique. So sometimes I think some of these bloggers, they get, you know, mixed up and they don't keep it very neutral and very objective on their judgment. And then it's easy to take two pictures and, you know, your favorite is, you know, you bring the best shot of him, and then it's not really scaled to the same. So you feel like the guys are the same size, or even maybe the guy who actually is smaller in real life, it looks bigger because the picture, it just, you know, because how they put them together, sometimes it's just not right. But yeah, I think it just brings more people talking about it and more publicity to the sport. It just engage more people, and all in all, it's just a good thing. It's all good.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate
it. My pleasure.
It.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man.
Visit GenerationIron.com for even more GI exclusive content on all things bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are downloaded.
Your body is an ultimate high-performance machine, and Performance Lab Protein is the ultimate high-grade muscle fuel. This revolutionary plant-based formula has conquered the purity and taste issues that you get with most protein powders, and is clinically shown to be at least as effective as whey for increasing lean muscle mass. But again, don't take our word for it. Try it for 30 days, and if you're not blown away with a difference, you'll get your money back. Go to performancelab.com. Use discount code GenIron10 to get 10% off. That's performancelab.com, discount code GENIRON and number 10.